Welcome into the 188th episode of the Young Terps podcast. This is your host, Mason Viner, alongside Jack Rothenberg. Jack, you were out there on Saturday night. Maryland tops Howard, and they cover what I saw as a 46-point spread pretty easily.
Yeah, I actually saw someone that was 48, just a pretty big spread, but they definitely covered it, 62-0. In a 62-0 game, there's not going to be much you don't like. And I saw everything I saw, I pretty much liked, except one thing that troubled me was their special teams unit. They muffed a couple punts. They got to shore that up going into this Friday against Illinois.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head, at least for me. I had Maryland pretty positive in every category on the day, other than special teams. It seems to be a struggle for the Terps, and surprisingly, they play starters on specials, and they're still not getting it done. Coach Zook has to go back to the drawing board there. I thought it was a really solid game from the quarterback position for Maryland, but it's also a game that I find very hard to judge. Howard is not a good team by any stretch, even at the FCS level, and is in a rebuilding phase. How do you look at this game?
I look at it as just a confidence booster, honestly. I think I was a little confused in the beginning. They left Leah in there a little longer than I would have liked. They let him play, I think, a possession into the second half. But he really hasn't played with these guys all that much. He had 5 games last season, so he needed more reps, and I understand that. And luckily, he didn't get injured, so I'm fine that he played those snaps in the second half. But as I said earlier, I think it's just a confidence booster. It's to get these guys more reps and playing together. One thing that also stood out to me was Dante Demas is for real. He's one of those players you can throw the ball up to him and he'll go up there and get it. But he's also a great route runner. So he solidified himself to me as the number one receiver on this team. And people probably knew that coming into the season, but he solidified that for me. And he's just a straight up baller.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think Demas is showing that he's a next level player. And I think the Terps are receiving core as a whole, Jack. With Jarrett, Demas, Daryl Jones. Not as much Brian Cobbs, though, I thought we would see this season, and a couple other guys. Maybe the best in the conference. Now, Demas may not be up there with the Chris Olave type player. He might not be that highly rated. But as a unit, I mean, Dino Tomlin dropped a touchdown pass, but I think Dino Tomlin's a good player. Dejon McDougal, who hasn't gotten much of a chance yet at Maryland just because of the depth and wealth of talent that this team has, but it is a top-tier receiving core. And another guy that you have to look at is Chigakonkwo. He will talk to the media tomorrow, Tuesday, but what have you seen out of the Terps tight end? He now has 2 touchdowns in 2 games.
Yeah, he's been vital for their offense in the couple games they've played so far. And he's also a great blocker. He's been on there on blocking plays too, and he's been great in the rushing game. So I think moving forward, he can play a big part in this offense. But one name that you did leave out was Jayshon Jones. He was injured in training camp. He's been working his way back in it a little bit. I think he can also play a big role for this offense as well.
And I think he will. He brings a lot of attitude to the team. Sometimes that's shown a little bit more than his skill. And I know some of the fans have really not appreciated his penalties at inopportune times, especially against Rutgers at the end of last season. But Jayshon is a very, very talented player. He's had some injury problems over the last couple of years. But, you know, going back to his first game at Texas, he made about as good an impression as you can. 3 touches, 3 touchdowns in different phases of the offense. I would like to see one of these receivers play a little bit out of the backfield. We've seen Rakim Jarrett and Brian Cobbs play at the running back position so far this season. But I think Jayshon Jones might get a look there. He is a player that's not exactly a Mike Locksley wide receiver, but definitely can break the big play and a guy that they're going to look to work in. It's just a matter of when. You know, that kind of leads me to my next point. This upcoming week, Maryland, Friday night tilt at Illinois. Then they travel to Kent State, a game time that was just set for 3:30. So Maryland will not have a noon home game currently on the schedule, which is a big plus for a lot of the fans. Then they have that big game against Iowa. So when you're running out of time, Jack, to get these receivers that they want to heat up, your Daryl Jones, Brian Cobb, Jayshon Jones, they're running out of time to get those guys going. The Howard game would have been a great chance, but with Jarrett and Demas doing what they're doing, and along with the Conquo, Maryland has not really been able to find a third consistent receiver, but they definitely have one somewhere in there.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think it's going to be too hard for them to find it soon, because as much as Leo likes Rock and Dante Demas, he's going to need to find another option. And eventually, I think one's going to show themselves. And this Illinois team doesn't have a great pass defense. So I think this upcoming week could be another opportunity for them to find one and have a great day through the air.
Yeah, and in terms of yards, the third leading receiver for the Terps this year is Jayshon Jones, followed by tight end Corey Dyches. And then down the list is Okonkwo, who only has four catches on the season for 22 yards, but two of them being touchdowns. Darryl Jones, three catches for the Terps for 16 yards so far. The only two guys that are at the top of that list are Demas, who Jack already has 261 yards on the year, and Jarrett, who already has 189. So two big performers. And then, like I think many expected, a long list of supporting cast members that are also very, very talented and very experienced. Other than that, I thought Maryland student section showed out really well for the Howard game, but not too much excitement. The game didn't really last too long. It was a mass exodus of fans at the end of the first quarter and then at halftime, but that's to be expected. And it's just one that you put in the win column and you have to move on, especially going into a short week. Coach Loxley, the videos that that the team put out of his post-game speech kind of said that was, you know, this is why you practice hard Monday through Friday to win on Saturday, and then you're on to the next one. There isn't much to celebrate here. This is what you expect. This is what he expected, and this season seems to be about setting the standard for Maryland football in fan experience and on the product on the field. Can you talk a little bit about that and why that's a good goal for this team to set a standard of success?
Yeah, because it's what's going to draw recruits in. If recruits see that this team is hardworking, that Loxley is putting in the right mentality into these players to get wins on Saturdays, that's what's going to draw people here. But it's also what's going to draw the fans as well. If they see a competitive team on the field and one that can win games and compete at the highest level, that's what everyone wants to see. And that's what it's beginning to look like as Loxley's taken over entering his third year. But moving on to this game on Friday, Illinois coming off of a big loss against Virginia. They lost 42-14. What are you most looking forward to on Friday?
Yeah, seeing Maryland play Big Ten football in primetime, even though it's on a Friday night, that has to be it. Illinois, not Maryland's real big matchup as terms of Big Ten football. These teams have met once in the history of both of the programs, and both of these teams have been playing for a long time. That was in 2018, where a 4-3 Maryland team beat a 3-4 Illinois team 63-33 in College Park in front of only 30,000 fans. Kasim Hill led the Terps to that victory with 265 yards in the air and three touchdowns. Javon Lee carried the ball five times for 140 yards and three touchdowns and returned a kick for Maryland in the blowout win over the Illini. And a lot of things have changed for both of these programs since. Both have had coaching changes. Maryland now under Mike Loxley. Illinois now under a former Wisconsin coach and Illinois native Brett Bielema. And for the Illini, the season started off about as well as it could, Jack. A win over Nebraska in week zero, kind of a primetime feature game on Fox. Bielema gets his first win. But Brandon Peters, the former Michigan quarterback who's been playing for the Illini under Lovie Smith and Coach Bielema, goes down with an injury. Art Stokowski, the former Rutgers quarterback, was listed as the backup. He's played since in losses to both UTSA and a stomping that Virginia handed the Illini on Saturday. It's not been easy for Illinois, but they have some skill positions. Epstein, the running back, he played well against Maryland a couple of years ago. He's still on the roster, and they have a couple of other players. I don't think they're as bad as they've been at the last 2 weeks, but they kind of remind me of a Maryland team. They don't have a quarterback, and they've lost some games they probably should have won, especially that one against UTSA in week two.
Yeah, they definitely have some great position players. They have a split-head running back. They go with two. They go with Reggie Love mainly and Chase Brown. So you'll see them feature both of those. But their most interesting player to me is their leading receiver on the year is Isaiah Williams. He leads the team with 19 receptions, but he came into Illinois as a quarterback recruit. But this past season, he switched over to receiver, which is a very interesting thing that you see more often than not. But it's just very interesting that he's their leading receiver. So watch out for Isaiah Williams on Friday. But how do you see them matching up? I think one, Maryland should win this game, but I think they could win it pretty easily.
Yeah, so do I. And that's one thing that I want to talk about in a minute. If you look at the concerns for Illinois, it's both sides of the line, which if you look at Brett Bielema's designs, whether it be at Arkansas where he really wasn't successful or Wisconsin where he really was, it's a strong offensive line and running game that he looks for. Illinois does not have a great unit up front. I think Sam Oh for the Terps, maybe even Chop Robinson can get going, and this is a big opportunity for the big boys up front for the Terps. As far as the threats that they pose as an offense, I think that you're going to see a lot of short passes, whether it be Peters or Stokowski in there. And if you just play your positions, don't fall into a hole early, I think Maryland really rolls in this game. From an offensive perspective, I think that's it's all about what's going on in Leah's head. He's got to stay calm, even if there's an early mistake. Step up in the pocket, make the simple plays like he's been talking about, and Maryland will roll. I think if you play through Demas, you play through Jarrett, and then you get a couple other plays from your supporting cast like you've been able to, Maryland comes out on top and they come out big. The Terps currently an 8-point favorite, which I think is a little low. I was expecting Maryland to be about a 10-point favorite, even though it's on the road in a night game in Champaign.
Yeah, and one thing that I mentioned on the Big Dog post-game show is that this is Leah's first time he's going away in Big Ten play with opposing fans in attendance. So I think this is a big game for Leah to prove to these Maryland fans what he can actually do. I know we've seen him. He played well last year, but that wasn't – yeah, I'm sure there was pressure, but there wasn't the atmosphere that was that goes into all these games. And I think this is going to be a big game for him to prove not only to us but himself that he can really play at this level and do great things. So I'm expecting a big-time game out of Leah on Friday.
Yeah, and this is, I think, his moment. And I've seen some pointed out on the Inside Maryland sports boards and on the Terrapin Times of the world that this is Maryland's game. This is Michael Oxley's big game. Yes, they beat Penn State, and that's his signature win at the moment. But this is the game that they have to win. And if you look back, whether it be under DJ Durkin, Matt Canada, Michael Oxley, and you can even go back to Randy Etzel in some regards to his 2011, his first campaign, his inaugural one as the Maryland head coach. This is a game that Maryland has not won. Go back 2 years ago, they lost to Temple. If you go back 2 years before that, or a year or two before that, they lost to UCF. They've been in this spot where the fans are happy. They had a big week one win or a big week two win, and they've dropped the ball at this moment, especially on the road. If you go back to Mike's first year that lost at Temple, you cannot repeat that performance. You have to win this game. You've got to get to 3-0 and then 4-0 against Kent State. And then we'll see what happens from there. But this is possibly your tone-setting win. If you go out there and you dominate, you show this is what Maryland's about on the national stage at night, on the road, in the Big Ten. You know, everything you just talked about for Leah, I think, is true for this entire team. If you look around, Maryland's big players at the moment haven't really shown up in a big game other than the Penn State game last year. And if we're talking about a game with fans, they've dropped the ball. So if you really want to make something happen this year, I think this is the game you really have to come out and say, hey, we're here and we're legit. And I know I'll say that in 2 weeks if they're unbeaten and they're playing Iowa. But for now, it's about winning the simple games, because that's what they failed to do and what stopped them from getting 6 wins, especially a couple years ago.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And it's the fact that you cannot look to that. And you were talking about it earlier, you can't look to the Iowa game as much as you want to. As much as there's, that 4-0 talk going into a game against a ranked team at home, you have to focus on the game ahead. And even you can even focus on Illinois and Kent State first, because you have to take care of them. They're going to give you a little bit of a challenge, so you can't look to Iowa. But a way that they can get this done, and it was similar to the way that they started the game against West Virginia, Loxley has to draw plays to get his best position players in a position to make plays. Draw plays for Dante Demas, draw plays for Rock Jared, draw plays to get Teonfly Davis in the correct spot to make big plays and get this offense rolling and get them starting early. That's the key. They have to get off to a great start. They cannot fall behind. And that's when they get in trouble, is when they fall behind and they can't get themselves out of that hole.
And I think that there is a prime example of that on display yesterday with the Washington football team. They did not get Terry McLaurin the ball early in the game. And if you look at Maryland and you look at just look at football teams, Michael Oxley, the one thing that he does as a play designer and as a play scripter, and this goes to Coach Enos too, is the best player gets that first slant route. When they're trying to draw you in and run their trap plays and their run pass option plays, That first slant of the game for Maryland is going to Dante Demas or Rakim Jarrett. There's no doubt about that. And that is one of the things, and Jack, I know you just mentioned this, but I'll reiterate it, is one of the best things about Maryland's offense. The best players get the ball early in the game. And then, you know, I still have a little bit of questionable thinking from a football aspect about what's going on in the second quarter and the third quarter especially. But when it's game time for Maryland and Maryland's offense under Michael Oxley, which is in the first quarter, in the fourth quarter, the best players are getting the ball. And that's something that I love because when Coach Canada and Coach Durkin were coaching, with all the running backs they had, it was really hard for them to define who they actually wanted to have the football in the big moment. And right now, I think there's no doubt that Rakim Jarrett and Dante Demas are your guys. You need a big play, you're going to them. And that's something that I don't really think we've seen quite exactly pointed to. And with all the receivers, I wasn't exactly sure what would happen this year. But two guys have separated themselves from the pack, and I'm giving those two guys the ball a lot early. Running back is one position that I want to talk to or wanted to talk to you about on this podcast, Jack, for the Terps. What have you been seeing? Who do you like? We saw a lot of guys out there on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure almost every running back got a touch on Saturday because it was a blowout. They were transferring everybody. I really liked Roman Hemby. He got 12 carries for 45 yards and a touchdown. He showed great quickness and was able to find holes very easily. But another name was Penny Boone. I know he was involved last year with the offense a lot, but he was coming off an injury. We didn't really know how he's going to look. Apparently, he cut a lot of weight this offseason. He looked great. He looked very fast, a lot faster than he was last year, and he was able to make plays on the outside as well. And then one more name is Colby McDonald. He's a local recruit that came in this year. He scored a touchdown on his first carry of his career. He's another one of those guys that you could see playing in a couple years. And all these guys, it just showed a glimpse of what the future of the running back room could look like.
Yeah, I didn't really think any of them looked exactly ready to go. Maybe Hemby and McDonald get worked in. I like the way that Antoine Littleton was running the ball, a guy that a lot of people thought they should play at inside linebacker. He really came to Maryland because Maryland gave him the opportunity to play running back. I think we see Isaiah Jacobs back out there. Loxley saying that he was it a little injury that he had this last week and they just wanted to rest him against Howard?
Yeah, he was dealing with a little turf toe. Loxley said that he was available to play if needed, but they held him out because they didn't feel that it was necessary for him to get in there.
Yeah, I'm looking for him to have a nice game. He showed well in week one. Of course, Tayon Fleet-Davis will also be getting carries, but I think running back by committee is the way it's going to look for the Terps. I'm hoping Fleet-Davis can pull it together and have a big year like the rest of his running back class has. But I think for Maryland's offense, they really have to look to get a running game going here because I think a lot of teams are going to start honing in on the slant routes, on the passes, and start to play pass pro against Maryland. A lot of, you know, contain routes to keep Leah in the pocket because he doesn't necessarily climb the pocket well yet, and really pass-oriented rushes and pass-oriented defense, and that may be able to slow the Terps down a little bit. I don't really think this week's the one to be too concerned about that, but they have to find a bit of running game because teams are going to figure out what they're doing well, look at the film, and turn it around. Jack, any other points on the Illini?
Yeah, one thing that I think the Terps can do well on Friday is that Illinois, as I said earlier, doesn't have a great pass defense against Virginia. Virginia threw for 423 yards. So Leah, look for him to have a great day. And I know we were talking earlier about how this is a big game for him with first game in front of away fans in the Big Ten. But I think he's going to show up and have a great day because this Illinois pass defense is setting him up to have one. And also look for Tayon Fleet-Davis to be involved early. I think Illinois, their defense isn't amazing. So literally everybody on the offense could be in for a big one.
Yeah, and kind of going on your point of this last week's game, between Virginia and Illinois, it started out, UVA got out to a 14-0 lead. Illinois got a touchdown. Virginia went to the half up 21-7. It was then 21-14 before the Hoos ran away with it to a 42-14 win. And Virginia isn't even supposed to be that good this year. They're picked fifth in the Coastal. I've seen them picked in the ACC. They're up to a 2-0 start. Brandon Armstrong, their quarterback, was 27 for 36, Jack, 405, five touchdowns through one interception, averaged 11.3 yards per completion. So a big opportunity for Leah Tungavailoa. Virginia did not necessarily run the ball particularly well. 33 total team carries for 133 yards. Their leading rusher only put up 35 yards on 10 carries. So Virginia took advantage of the secondary weaknesses from the Illini, and Illinois was just not able to really participate in a shootout game, which Virginia was able to turn it into. I think that's what the same thing that Maryland does, and I think the Terps roll pretty similar to the Cavaliers. I'm taking it, Jack. The Terps put up 56 against the Illini. Maryland wins 56-24.
I'm going to go a similar path to what you just said. I'm going to go Maryland 45, Illinois 20.
All right, so there you have it. Both of us pick the Terps in a blowout win Friday night, Fox Sports 1, 9 o'clock Eastern kick, Jack. I will say I'm not a big fan of that.
No, definitely not. It's a little late for me, but you got to stay up. You got to watch your Terps, and hopefully they'll come out with the win.
Yeah, I know. That puts the game ending at about, 12:30 Eastern?
Yeah, definitely somewhere around there.
Yeah, so it will be late night. With the Terps on Friday. Both of us, of course, will stay up and watch it, and then we'll be back here to break it down on the podcast. But interesting weekend for sports fans around the area, especially those of us that were root for Washington, the Washington football team, and Maryland, a Thursday night, Friday night, and then just a weekend of football around the country. So Maryland, with their first of two Friday night games coming up this weekend against Illinois, and we'll be back here on the podcast after that, signing off. For us, Mason Viner and Jack Rothenberg. And of course, thanks for listening, and go Terps.